This meeting is being recorded.
Hey, everybody. Pot on you loons. This is Doomsday.
Hey, pot on you loons. This is James. How am I still going second here? Like, I'm the host. You're the guest. Yeah.
You know, it's really just because I have the button. So,
yeah, that's true.
But you know what? We can do Daddy's not here, so we can do whatever we want, James.
Yeah, Stat Daddy's not here. Actual Daddy's not here. It's just the J's.
Is this the J's?
We have such an exciting podcast, man. We're going to get to talk about Arsenal for like the next hour and how much we trounced Chelsea and Leeds this year. It's going to be fantastic. Yep.
Man. That's what I was going to say. I don't know. Do you want to just break down each and every Arsenal game from beginning to end? You know, should we talk about each individual player, their pros, their cons? I mean, really... nothing can stop this from becoming an Arsenal podcast today.
I know. This is so great. No, we will talk a little bit about Arsenal. Do not worry. You have two Arsenal fans on the pod, so we get to do that. But we actually have a lot of football to talk about. There is Aurora kicking off their season. There's the Toosies, Minneapolis City's there, Ford Madison. Obviously, the Loons played two games. There is a lot of football to cover, or soccer to cover. But as per usual, let's start with the five-worder. My five-worder this week is, at least Aurora are fire.
You know, yeah, they sure are.
It could even be at least Aurora are scoring. That could also have been the five-worder.
Well, maybe, you know, I don't know how the transfer market works, but what do you think? You know, I heard Amaria might be on the move. Maybe we can sell him to Aurora for some goals.
We get goals, you get Aurora, you get Amaria. I mean, it was really interesting, though. Like, I will say that I listened to, if you don't know Andy Greeter, firstly, go follow Andy Greeter. But Andy has this thing where in spaces, right, where he talks about the Loons. And the last space that he did, he talked about how Minnesota wants to spend big, right? Like, they want to find a striker. And not only that, they expect to spend more than they did from Reynoso. So they expect to have, you know, like a transfer bonanza where we find some proven striker who can score a lot of goals, because Amaria, he's not scored 25 goals. And the rumors are, of course, as we're going to jump into the news, that the rumor is that he's going to go back to his former club. So, yeah, the question is, I like how you posed it. Do we care?
Exactly. Like, I mean, here's the thing. Because I was actually going to ask you about that that signing piece and us finally making a dive. And I do think it's time to finally get a, lack of a better way of saying it, a big name in Minnesota. I feel like a lot of the supporting cast is there. We just don't ever have finish. We never finish. And when I say, do we care? I mean, honestly, if you took Amaria out of our team right now, what are we losing? He hasn't scored a goal in pace of play. He scored two penalties. And, I mean, I made the joke on the last podcast, like, I think at least five times they got him the ball too close to goal. Like, he literally, like, he's 5 feet away and can't score. So, I mean, I just don't know, like, if we took him out, what are we losing?
Yeah, I mean... hey, we're losing our best penalty taker. That's all we're losing, right? But, I mean, you're right. Like, I think, look, you know, Sang Bin also took a penalty and missed, right? So, at the moment, Amaria is our best penalty taker. But I think it's one of those where, you know, he was good last season, right? Like, if you look back, like, it wasn't, you know, still record-breaking, but he scored 9 goals last season, right, and had 4 assists. So the second most goal contributions in our team behind Reynoso. And obviously this season we don't have Reynoso yet. He is back. Ray is back. But, you know, you would have expected Amaria to kind of step up, to kind of be that guy where he, you know, there is no Ray, so now it's his time. And he's just kind of fluffed his lines, right? And at this rate, you know, there's talk of shipping him back. There's talk of getting a new, you know, a brand new proven striker. I think I do care. Like, I would have loved to have seen him get 25 goals that he promised us. He promised us 25 goals, but it's one of those that it's so tough because he was so excited to be back. Like, he wanted to be back, and he just hasn't looked very good this season. Like, his XG, right? His XG is actually, 3.2. So, yeah, he should have scored some more goals. Oh, his non-penalty XG is 2.7. Like, if you remove the penalties, he's at a 2.7 XG, and he has not scored once.
But that's the story, right? That's the story, though. It's like, it's almost literally the story of Minnesota United. Like, oh, if only we could finish. If only we could finish. Oh, they're so streaky, right? Oh, he'll go on this streak of games with goals, and then he'll disappear for a while, just like the team does, just like all of Heath's teams have done over the years. And I think it's like, as a fan, like, it's like every year, what do? We're fifth or sixth place in the conference. We get to a playoff game. Maybe we make a run. Maybe we don't. Well, let's put it this way. Once we made a run, the rest of the time we don't. And at the end of the day, I think the pieces around, I think we have one of the better goalkeepers. Our defense, has been great. And it's only going to get better with Tabassi coming back. And our midfield, if Will Trapp can stop committing penalties, is pretty solid. Like, so, and I love this. I mean, obviously I love Longwane. I really like Fragapane. I think that Sangbin has definitely added some energy into the team. Rosales has looked pretty good in the little time he's had up front. I think Mender Garcia is a perfect off the bench piece to go behind a legit striker, a guy who we can either bring in to sub off a top tier striker, or a guy, if we're behind or need a goal, could play next to him. So I think the pieces are there, and that's not even counting Reynoso. And it's saying Loda's out. So, like, we have, as we found out, Loda's going to be out for a while. We're going to be missing him for quite a bit. So, to me, I would like someone that I don't have to say how streaky he is all the time. Just give me a scorer.
Yeah. And I mean, so actually the Amaria stat is he's on 1.7 XG. So he should have scored like at least two goals already. But the thing is, like, Stat Daddy will be proud, but we've scored 12 goals and our XG is 18.3.
Yep.
So we should have scored 50% more goals than we have right now, that's wild.
Well, and the game we're going to talk about here at the end of the podcast is going to be a shining example of that, just yet again, like, shooting everywhere except for in the net. So like we just said, Lode is sounding now more, instead of the 5 to 6 weeks, it's sounding more like 5 to 6 months. So kind of thinking about it, what do we do now? Like, what's sort of the piece here?
I think it's twofold, right? Like, I think for Lod, he was turning into that kind of Swiss army knife, right? A Finnish army knife, let's say, for sake of argument. But, like, he would just go anywhere on the field and he could fit in. But we really wanted him to be on the wings or kind of in that middle position that he's kind of been playing, especially as Reynoso's been away. He's kind of been there and made sure that, we kind of get looked after in that midfield. And I think with him gone, we need Ray back. Because I think, like I said, I think the other bits are there. Like, I would love to see Longwane be more of a super sub. And we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. But, I mean, the man's scoring goals. So, most goals from anyone on the team, most XG, should have at least had an extra goal plus, if his XG is to be believed, right? So I think if we get Ray and then we get an actual striker, then you have enough pieces that you can kind of slot around. But man, that is still a massive miss. Like, to lose out on Lod, I mean, he has one assist this year, right? He hasn't technically done a lot this year because he's been so, I mean, we also haven't scored a lot of goals, but he's also been there kind of making sure that the team is together. I mean, last year, 6 goals, 2 assists, and was just kind of everywhere, right? And the season before was kind of even better, 9 goals, 4 assists. So, you know, he contributes a lot to this team in terms of not only goals and assists, but also just kind of being that person who can play everywhere. So I think, yeah, man, it's just how quick can Ray get back? How quick can we get a new striker? And then kind of what can we do from there that kind of helps us make sure that we're not missing, because he's such an important player. But this year we have found ways to play without him because he has one assist and no goals.
Well, and I almost wonder if, you know, Dotson is sort of just the Ludd replacement, right? Like he's our Swiss Army knife. I mean, that's what Dotson did prior to getting hurt. I mean, really, Ludd got moved to that role because Dotson was hurt. I mean, that's really how that ended up piecing together. So it might be as simple as Dotson's going to be the younger version. He's now seems like he's match fit. He went 90, you know, the full 90 against RSL. So that might be just kind of the simple answer, is that now Dotson's going to play that he'll be the American Army knife and play that role. Or is that just a knife? I don't know.
It's just that's not a knife. This is not. Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to kind of see. The other thing I will say is that, you know, Reynoso's not there. We don't have a lot anymore. And we don't really have someone scoring goals apart from Longwane, right? Like everyone else is kind of not really putting anything in the net. We are in sixth place. We are in joint sixth place with, or joint fifth, I should say. San Jose literally have one better goal difference than us. So,
which says something about San Jose.
Yeah. Like that. And Houston Dynamo, we're 1 point ahead, but we're there one game in hand. So we could be, for all intents and purposes, seventh, right? Which is still in the playoffs. And we don't really have our best pieces on the field. So
yeah,
it is one of those things that we always talk about, how doomy and gloomy, and you see Twitter going Heath out and all this kind of stuff. But we are still a decent team, even though we have no Ray and now we have no Lod. I mean, we got a draw against RSL, right? Like we got points. Our home record has, yes, been atrocious. I think it was, we were talking about it pre-podcast. I think it was Boxy who said that, you know, made a comment like, yeah, we need a better home record, which is kind of an understatement. But, you know, it is one of those things that we have such a good away record that ironically it's the away record that's carrying us through. But we're going pretty decent, man. Like 5 wins, 4 draws, 5 losses. If you said at the start of the season, we have no Reynoso and Lod will get injured, we still got no Debussy, and you would say that we're sixth after 14 games, I think most people would take that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that the hard part with watching a Loons game is that you're pretty certain it's going to be 1-0, 0-0, or someone's going to put up a bunch of goals on us. Like, we don't really have much in between. There's not really that 3-goal effort from the Loons that, you know, unless it's the Open Cup, which we don't get to play in anymore. We'll get to that later. But I think that you're right. I think we would take it. And I think that if the players that are on the pitch are getting better, and then you put Ray in the mix, I mean, Ray can't be that far out. I mean, I've heard mid-June by some people. So we got to be coming up to one or two more games until we start to at least see him play for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's not even talking about how we went to Portland and we won.
Right.
Like, I know you guys talked about it, but like we hadn't done that since 2021. So yeah, I mean, it was, we beat St. Louis when they were like looking real hot at the start. We beat Portland in Portland, and sure, people are not getting much Maccas. Like there's not many Maccas fries going around for 2+ goals, but we are getting important wins, right? So it could be worse. You know, it could be like Leeds who got relegated, or Chelsea who finished 12th.
Right. So that's a great transition. Obviously, the Premier League ended yesterday. And, you know, Arsenal, unfortunately, kind of collapsed at the end. But it's been a while since we've had Champions League football at Arsenal. So I don't know about you, but I'm pretty damn excited to see what this team does.
It's always so funny. Like, you talk about it with friends and people are like, oh, Arsenal bottled it and Arsenal should have won. And you're right. But also, it's one of those things that if you at the start of the season said, hey, you know, Arsenal, we're going to be leading for a lot of the time and then we're going to make the Champions League, we would have been like, hell yeah, we'll take that. Like,
well, and not just made the Champions League. Like, I mean, as bad as we bottled it at the end of the year, we were well clear of third place. I mean, it was a two-team race, hands down. Yeah. I mean, it was settled a while ago. It was going to be us or them. So, you know, and honestly, like, I mean, Man United was the better team. Like, Man City, excuse me. They were the better team, and they deserved it. And, you know, we lost some games we shouldn't, but even if we hadn't done that, I think it would have been a tough one to hold on to it. And at the end of the day, like, we're getting Champions League football, and that's what we want. And so now, can we make a run there? Can we actually, you know, can we make the signings we need to be competitive in both arenas? Because that's what we've been missing for a long time.
Yeah, and I mean, the funny thing was, of course, that we finally got a win on the final day where we won 5-0 and Brentford beat Man City, right? So the gap was only 5 points at the end of the season. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, this, it was a two-horse race. I mean, we were 9 points clear of Man United, right? And Newcastle back in the Champions League, like, Brighton's going to Europe, Aston Villa, Tottenham didn't even make Europe, right? Like, they finished eighth, which is like, mwah, ah. Super cherry on top of that. But
yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, both of us, I know probably not as many people in the listening crowd, but we're excited, man. Like, this should be real fun. I think I can't wait to also rub it in the faces of those guys too.
And then, as you kind of mentioned, as we are just getting ready to start here, Chelsea has, you know, Chelsea changes coaches like underwear, so they have another new one. And why don't you talk about what you think about that?
I think Pochettino is really interesting, right? So Chelsea announced they were signing Pochettino. He becomes, I believe, the fourth manager to coach both Tottenham and Chelsea. So that's also interesting, kind of feeding off each other. But yeah, I think it's going to be, I think that's going to be interesting. I think he was really good. As much as I hate to admit it, I think he was a great coach at Tottenham. I think Agreed. Tottenham kind of went downhill when they got rid of him. So I think it'll be interesting to see how it goes. He has a 2-year contract. There's a club option for a further year. And yeah, I think he'll be good. You know, he was in charge of PSG, right? And they won the title. So clearly has some history, right? And Frank Lampard is not the manager you want in charge, to be honest. Like, it's great for people like us, but not a good manager. So, no, I think Chelsea made the right choice.
All right. Well, since we have, you know, we have your at least Aurora are on fire. That's our James 5-worder for the day. And we certainly have a lot to talk about with them. Their first two games of the year. So, we had a firsthand account from Daddy Sam, and I think you're gonna let us know what Sam thought about that game.
Yeah, the Chelsea fan Sam as well, so I'm sure he's stoked that he gets Poch. But I can try to do an impression of him, but I don't want to butcher it too hard.
But I think you should butcher it hard.
Despite the Vikings logos, I had a great time at TCL for the Aurora opener. Shout out to Emma and my cousin Elizabeth for joining my wife and I. I shouldn't have been surprised, but Aurora did have a Ghirardelli stand where they were handing out free ingredients to make your own bougie s'mores. I don't know why my accent goes more towards Trump, but I'm trying not to. It's all the news we get over here, right? It's always terrible. Only the best for Aurora, which is totally deserved. They totally bossed Rochester around from the start while sitting in the grass behind the goal, which was Emma's idea, and my butt fell asleep. I was happy to be near Rochester's goal because that was literally where all the action took place. Looking at the division scoreboard, Aurora is a class or two or three above every other team. Check them out if you're ready to see some goals and some wins.
Yeah, and I think that last point that he made, and we'll probably, you know, just be able to take the two games here and kind of combine them. A grand total of 9 goals for Aurora. The home game, we had almost over 5,000 fans, which is great. In these two games, Maya Hansen with 3 of the goals, Kat Rapp with 2, and then a handful of players, including Mariah Nguyen, with a goal as well. I think the biggest thing is this. It looks like Chicago City SC is the other, you know, they are 2 games in and they're 8-0. So they look like they're going to be the other team we have to tangle with.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, kind of like last year, and I don't think it was as pronounced last year, what's going to happen when we get challenged? Because it looks like we're not going to get much of a challenge for most of the campaign here.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the other thing to look at, right? Is that if you look at the standings from last year, we obviously were 11 with a draw, right? And then we were plus 27 in the goal difference. So Green Bay Glory was second. They had 6 wins, 3 losses, 3 draws. And Chicago City had 6 wins, 5 losses and a draw. So we've played Rochester, who they're new. Welcome to the USLW, Rochester. Sorry, Loons. I saw an unfortunate tweet, it was also great, but it was unfortunate. It was like Rochester, Minnesota, and it was like shaking hands, and it was like Minnesota United, and it was like Loons teams losing by 4 or more goals. Like that was the Open Cup, which was good, but also a little sad. So yeah, Rochester, new. Yeah, you like welcome to the USLW. You went up against the finalist. Probably was going to happen anyway. Chicago Dutch Lions, they finished 3 wins, 8 losses last year, right? So also not a fantastic team. They got pretty donked as well, 4-0. So like you said, I think it'll be interesting to see kind of how we go, know, up against kind of the Chicago City or the Green Bay Glory. A Green Bay Glory, they're still in our division, right? I think so.
Yeah, I think they're in third right now.
Yeah. It's so I think, you know, that's kind of gonna be interesting as well to see how we go against those teams. But so far all Gucci. And I think it's good as well that we started against kind of a couple of these teams that probably weren't as good, right? I think it'll be the same on Wednesday, so May 31st versus RKC Soccer Club, right? So
yeah, and I think they're dwelling the bottom right now. So despite the fact that we beat 2 teams 9-0, they've had a worse run of it.
So yeah, and then we actually I think this is honestly great for us in terms of momentum, because Rochester, Chicago Dutch Lions, then we got RKC, then we got Rochester, then we got Chicago Dutch Lions again. So we have 5 games that we should pretty comfortably win in and kind of get that team gelling, and then we go Chicago City, Green Bay Glory, and then Bavarian United, and then, you know, we kind of get into it. But I mean, it's lucky for us that kind of those Rochester and Chicago Dutch Lions games are up front. And then, yeah, it's Green Bay Glory, Chicago City, RKC, Bavarian United to kind of finish it out. So I think we are the dominant team in here. So I would expect that, you know, we would also be kind of crushing this Heartland division. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I definitely think Green Bay Glory and Chicago City will be the tougher tasks here.
I wondered, so I was kind of just going through as I was doing research on the games, and I was looking into the UW, the what, USLW, is that UAWSL? And I was looking into their playoff system. And my curiosity was, why are only two of the conferences eligible for the wild card?
So I think they may have changed that this year. The problem is the USLW's website still only shows 2022. But it was, yeah, it was either, it was Great Lakes or Metropolitan, right?
Yep, that was what it was when I was looking. So I just didn't know. I was wondering what the rationale was there.
Yeah, I don't know, actually. So, I don't know what the rationale is to that. It may be because they're bigger kind of team or like bigger... Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really make sense to me because we're like Heartland Division is actually the biggest division or one of the biggest divisions. Metropolitan has 8. NorCal has 8. I mean, yeah, it's weird. So I guess we'll have to see, right? Because according to this, we're going to be playing the number one of Great Lakes, which is, I think, what we did, or at least what we did last year. I don't know if they've changed it, but. Like, some of these teams have already played 7 games.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, too. But then I figured I was just not going to hurt my brain too much. But
we start late. Like, we always start late. We started late last year as well.
Like you said, first place in the Heartland Division, we're actually 1 goal up on Chicago SC. And then RKC Soccer Club Wednesday, May 31st. Anything else on Aurora before we move on?
If you go to the game and you're one of like the first 500 on Wednesday, you get a free bucket hat, I think. So go do that.
All right. So MNUFC, we won one and lost one, a 3-2 win over Galaxy 2, the doubloons, Fisher, Iowa, and Mascara all scored in that one. And then a 1-4 loss to the first place Colorado Rapids 2, and a goal by Dunbar. And judging by the fact that Colorado has, I don't know, 3 or 4 less Premier League or three or less goals in the league, maybe they should bring up some of these guys that are scoring in League 2.
I mean, shouldn't we do that as well? I think our doubloons score a lot of goals as well, so.
Yeah, probably. You know, they're fifth place in the Western Conference. It actually is kind of interesting. Obviously, I don't know how many games are left and how the playoffs work and all that stuff. But, you know, had we won that game, we would have been only 2 points out. You know, so there's a big swing there from being 5 points back and now we're 8 as opposed to being 2 points out. So it was a big swing game there, you know, with Colorado. So that could have been fun if we would have found a way to win that one.
Yeah, that would have been good. I mean, we got the win over Galaxy. That's like super nice, right? Like, there are still plenty of games left. I think there's 18 games left. Like, they'll play all the way into like the end of September. So there are plenty of games left. I think the next one we are traveling to Portland, right? Against Portland too. So and then a couple of games in a home stand. Yeah, that's something I looked out of baseball. All this baseball that I'm watching, it's fucking paying off. But
and the Timbers are the last place team in our division. So hopefully we can put up some 3 points on the third there.
Yeah, that'll be real good. Yeah, I mean, we're kind of mixed in around the Houston Dynamo to North Texas SC. So yeah, we're kind of there or thereabouts.
So Minneapolis. What's that?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, yeah, moving on to Minneapolis City, right? So 1-0 draw with Rochester. So not able, like Aurora, to get it done. First play, they're 1 point. So they're 6th place in USL League 2, the deep North Division. Is that like a shallow North Division?
You know, I didn't see that. They got and it's their first point of the year. So... you know, oh. That was that poorly written sentence there that I had to try to read. So 3 games in, they lost their first 2 and they have 1 point And they have Bavarian United coming up on Friday, June 2nd. And that's another team that's kind of struggling right now near the bottom. So I think the first place team right now has 6 points. So obviously anything can happen. But, you know, City had a kind of a rough year last year as well. And so hopefully they can just improve on what they did last year and maybe make it a little interesting.
Yeah, and I think I remember talking to Matt Bashotin about this as well, fellow Arsenal fan. We were talking about it when I was over there last year, right? And for them, it's like this is the biggest step, right? Like they were consistently crushing it under this. And now it's like now you're up with the big boys of USL League 2. And like last year was just, you're right, it was like a lot of experience, just understanding how this played. And now they're kind of getting into it. They've played 3 games, like I said, first draw, so they're at least on the board, only at a -3 goal difference as well, so they're at least scoring goals even when they're losing. So yeah, RKC are up top actually, then St. Croix, Rochester FC, Winnipeg, Thunder Bay and Bavarian United. So some of the same teams that Aurora will play also have USL 2 teams. So, yeah, I think this will be good for Minneapolis City. I can see them getting a win against Bavarian United. And, yeah, then it's just kind of how you go against all these other teams and kind of making it work. And I think I think they'll find some wins this year because I know last year was pretty rough. If I take a quick squiz back, I can see that. If they even had a division. Yeah, so they were 1 win, 2 draws, and 9 losses. Right, so wasn't super fun, but Des Moines got moved out of their division, who were 10-2-0 last year. So 0 losses, 10 wins. So they got shifted. And Peoria, that's what we're going with. Peoria. Yeah, so they also got moved. Right. So actually the two top performing teams of the division last year got moved out. So yeah, now is time for kind of Minneapolis City to kind of get amongst it, I think, and start mixing it up, getting some points on the board. Should be good.
And then finally we got, Sam's favorite Mingos. They took down Union Omaha 2-1. That puts them at 13 points. They are in 7th place in the USL League One standings right now. So not doing too bad. We couldn't beat Union Omaha last year. So, you know, feather in their cap.
Too soon.
I don't know. I feel as though we should give forward Madison very little publicity today because Sam's not here. You know, we just, you know, that's his baby. So. We'll just move on from that.
Actually, like you say that, but Ford Madison did announce a women's team.
I think we talked about that last week. Actually, Sam was talking because Sam was saying he was that was really going to force him to be really feel torn between the two.
Yeah. Well, he's gonna have to deal with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, should we talk about they're up against Central Valley Fuego next, Saturday, June 3rd. So, yeah, lots of football this week. Should we talk about, how about we do this? We played a US Open Cup game. We got stomped. Then we played RSL.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the only thing I'd want to talk about in that Houston game, I can't say that I've watched nearly as much soccer as probably most of you guys, but I don't think I've ever seen a guy pick up 2 soccer yellows and get kicked out in the 38th minute of a game. I mean, most of those fouls are just general fouls. I just didn't get it. You know, obviously Houston was already playing with the upper foot. They had scored a goal 5 minutes prior to that second yellow, but we were fairly dangerous up to that point. And it looked like we possibly were going to be able to get something in the back of the net. So after that, we just sort of, collapsed. But I don't know. What did you think about those penalties? Like, did you think they were pretty soft?
I mean, it's kind of two things, right? Like, firstly, it's pretty soft to get the second one. Like, usually once you got the first one, you have a little bit of leeway before you get the second one. But also, man, like, you're already on the first one. What are you doing? Like, why are you why are you doing this? And Heath was, like, super annoyed and pretty unhappy about it, and I can imagine. Which also, right, like, I think, like, he wasn't in the game against RSL, right?
Correct.
Because he was suspended. So the fact that we even, like, we got a point against RSL when we had no Lod, no Ray, no Debussy, we had no Arriaga. Like, we did pretty reasonable to get, you know, a point there. But, yeah, I mean, Arriaga also just such a lack of discipline, man. Like, he has four yellows in the league already this year. He's played 10 games and he has four yellows.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he just misses Ray and he's kind of like, you know, filling that gap of unnecessary yellow cards. Yeah, you know, I think the thing is, though, in that sense, and then we can move on. But, like, you know, I was making a joke earlier about Trap and his yellows, but it seems like every time Trap gets booked, it's because he's getting involved in something. He's trying to make an important block, or he knows a breakaway is coming and he's going to prevent it by putting the yellow. Like, Arriaga has that same, like, just stupid placement for his fouls. Like you said, the second one, if you just look at it in isolation, it probably wasn't deemed a yellow. I mean, I don't think there was a reason to give him a yellow on it. At the same time, you're already on one, like you said, and you don't need to make a foul there. It's not like he was breaking away. It's not like, you know, it was over if he didn't make a play there. Like, just let him go. All right, but let's get to the actual game here, the one that's a little more fun to talk about. So why don't you go ahead and give us the rundown of the lineup here?
Yeah, so let's start with the typical thing that we do, where we look at the head-to-head. And our head-to-head is actually pretty good. Like, 5 wins, 6 draws, 3 losses. We've scored 5 more goals against them. Yeah, pretty much there's been a lot of draws lately, right? There were a lot of wins in the early days, but we, you know, we like drawing at Allianz kind of mostly. You know, we have a few draws here. So, yeah, it's one of those things that actually, when you look back, the last 4 games that we've played against them at Allianz, the last 5 games we've played against them, we've scored 3, 4, 0, 1, 3, and now 1. So we actually have a really good scoring record against them, which is good because we play them like 2 or 3 times a year every year. So it's nice that we score some goals.
RSL is like the team that just feels most like us. And not necessarily in the way they play or anything like that. It's just like, it almost seems like every time you're talking about where we are in the standings or what's going on, like, RSL is like in the same place as us. Like, it just feels like where there are, you know, there are twin in some ways.
Minnesota Twins is actually just us and Real Salt Lake sitting next to each
other. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we had a 1-1 draw, right? Like, they beat us 3-0 last season. We beat them 3-2 last season. So usually produces a lot of goals. Yeah, just kind of the way that we are, you know, we're not having a good goal scoring season. And to be honest, neither are they. They actually have scored more goals than us, though, by 1. So, not too difficult.
Well, I'll tell you what, too, like, watching the game, And you'll actually, if you look at the possession chart, it sort of goes with this trend. It was like a roller coaster. Like, it was back and forth. And it was almost like a point in time where we kept being really dangerous, but we weren't getting in the net. And then all of a sudden it's like, they're just breaking on us. And even the announcers have made a point, like, at near the end of the game, it's like, there's not even a midfield anymore. Like, everybody is just up and down this pitch. Like it's nobody's business. So it was a 1-1 game that really should have produced a little bit more out of it. But yet again, we can't finish, and apparently they can't finish either. So you got a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I mean, we had 16 shots, 3 on target, and they had 9 shots, 2 on target. So a lot of shooting, not a lot of hitting near the net, fair to say. Yeah, we had DSC in goal, Taylor, Boxy, Tapias, Lawrence, Trap, Dotson, Longwane, Fragapane, Rosales, and Amarir up top. Then we subbed on Sambing for Kamal Lawrence, which was interesting. And then Mendy Garcia for Franco late on. So we stuck with Amarir. And yeah.
Well, and at the, you know, after the 85th minute, you could tell, I think we really felt like we had the momentum, because you had Mender, Amarir, and Sangbin all on the pitch at the same time with Longwane. I mean, there was goal scorers out there. I mean, we were going for it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, like
supposed to be goal scorers. Let me rephrase.
Yeah. People who have the ability to score goals. That's what it is right now. Like, it's just like, we know these guys can score, but we're not seeing much physical actual goals.
No, I mean, it says on my paper you're a striker.
This is where I've lined you up. Please put in the net. But look, I mean, the XG that I have is that Minnesota United had 1.5 and Real Salt Lake had 0.6. So, like, they got a nice goal. We probably should have scored one more, but, you know, it ends up pretty even. But I think... yeah, if we look at that game, and we won't run through it all, but man, that Amarir, like, yellow card in the third minute, that's rough, dude. Like, he has eyes for that ball and bicycle kicks, and the other guy just runs right into it.
And then, of course, you know, this is where, and I know, like, VAR is the ultimate, like, you know, controversy here, because it's just, It's something that a lot of fans don't like, and it's something that's, even with it, it's still not accurate. But if you go and there's people up there watching these games, and you would think they could take, I mean, he didn't even make contact. At the end of the day, when you watch the replay back, not like he kicked him in the face, like, yeah, which is what it looked like live. And so it's like, it just seemed really harsh. And, you know, luckily it was Amarir, so it probably doesn't really change his aggressiveness for the game. But yeah, I didn't get it. I just didn't understand what the point was of that.
Yeah, I didn't either. So, oh well. I mean, look, they scored, put it through DSC's legs. That was a little awkward. Longwane, just beautiful in. Finds the post, finds an RSL leg, finds the goal. Even when we're scoring, we don't even score, right? Like, own goal. But yeah, we had some, we had some nice shots. And that Sangbin, like, right in the final minutes as well, the curling effort, that looked
good. Yeah. Well, and in the 42nd minute, we had a Dotson shot over the goal. But I guess the question was, during the volley of that play, Rosales got taken out in the box. And I think, had it been given, it might have been a bit of a self-penalty, but I think it might have been a penalty.
Yeah, like, at least, like, did VAR check it, actually?
I don't think they checked it at all, which I understand, like, I know that it's not just, like, anything that happens in the box is going to get called. At the same time, they were actually going for the ball, and the player took his legs out from it. I mean, you know, he was getting ready to leap for the ball. He got taken out from behind. It was definite contact. It wasn't just like a brush or an acting job. Like, he got bounced. So even though likely it wasn't a scoring opportunity, and there's lots of reasons why someone could say, they just don't call those. I don't know. It seemed to me like it was a pretty wide open, right in, you know, where everybody can see it, penalty. So, I mean, at the end of the day, those things are going to even out, but just thought it was something to bring up.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, definitely, that, you know, I think at some points during the season we might get it. Some points we don't. So it's it's always one of those things, right? Like sometimes you're like, oh my God, how can we not get these penalties? They're so obvious. And then you get a penalty that you're like, ah, did we deserve that? Yeah, I don't know. We'll take it. We'll take it though. Like,
though it is funny, and I'm sure, because, you know, obviously the Premier League is like that upper echelon league, and it's like, you go on Facebook, and every Arsenal game, if you go on Facebook, you can go to the fan page, and you can hear about how we should have had at least 3 penalties in the game, you know, like every game, and how anything that was called against us was egregious. So much like that, obviously, anything we did to Real Salt Lake was perfectly legal and overblown, and anything they did to us should have been a penalty. That's how it goes. So, you know, and it was really back and forth at the end, but really, if you look at the second half specifically, most of the chances were Minnesota United's. And I will say, from watching the game, the 2 defenders from Real Salt Lake, especially Silva, Silva saved that game on the Longwane block, you know, when Longwane had beat the goaltender. But Silva and Brody were huge in this game. They were all over the place. And, you know, the game was so wide open, they had to be almost perfect, and they were.
Yeah, I don't have much more to add, actually. Like, you know, it was good. Longwane, right, like player of the match, just – I can't wait for him to – like, I think that when Ray comes back, that is, like, the key to unlocking, like, so many more goals. Like, he already has an XG, like, 5.5 or something. He scored 4 goals. I think Ray hooking up with him, it's going to look, like, it's gonna look chef's kiss good.
Well, in a lot of ways, you've been watching Longwane, especially the last few weeks, and he's nutmegging guys. He's doing stops and spins, and he's just getting open. And those are all the things that Ray does. But unfortunately, Longwane has to do that, and then he has to create the shot. So yeah, like, what we need is, like, you know, for Longwane just to be able to get into his places and be able to shoot. You know, I kind of think too that that's gonna be a key. You know, Rosales did this in the game that he played, where he just let a couple rip. And I know I've heard that he would prefer more of the passing, more of the prettier or simpler goals, for lack of better. But goals aren't coming. And look what happened in the Portland game. Longwane let a shot rip. He had to, because there was no time left in the game. And what do you know? It goes in the back of the net. And the problem is we don't do it enough. And, you know, I think with Ray being able to open up some more shots, I think that could be a key to unlocking the offense. I have an optimism, which is dangerous with this club, because what? they often dude. Like, I know, but like, dude, I mean, look at what optimism? We've done without Ray. Look at what we've done without Ray. I feel like if Ray comes back and is in form, it could unlock some things. I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, right, without Ray, without Lod, we're missing a third of our goals from last season.
Yep.
Like, that is... just so many. And also,
it is,
you know, not only that, but also a third of our almost a third of our assists as well, right? So yeah, it's crazy, like, how much we miss. If you add Amaria as well, between Ray, Lod, and Amaria, it was 25 of our 46 goals last year.
Wow.
We have what, two goals between them? And 1 assist.
And both goals are penalty kicks.
Yeah. Like, not a single open play goal. So, yeah, just Ray, please come back to us soon, please. But I guess, you wrote some questions here, right? Does our defense have to suffer if we want to have a decent attack? I don't think it has to suffer per se, but I think, if we just add a striker, like an out-and-out poaching, not even that, just like unbelievably good proven goal scorer with the nose for the net. I don't think our defense has to suffer. I think if we can get Ray back as well, I think the midfield will convert, and then opportunities, and like he'll find all these opportunities that our 6xG that we're missing, he, like a proper scorer, would have found them.
Yep.
So yeah, I don't think so, but it usually does. That's how it is, right? Like usually when you're banging in goals, your defense also has problems. But I mean, Newcastle, Man City, both only let in 33 goals, I think, if my maths are correct. Yeah. And both scored, I mean, Newcastle scored 68 and Man City scored 94. So no, I don't think your defense has to suffer. But for us, yeah, I'm not saying we're Man City, but
it just seemed in the Real Salt Lake game, when we looked the most dangerous is when we were just getting numbers forward. And then we were getting hit on the break, and it was kind of going back and forth. And Dane had to play decent. Our defense came up big. But when Real Salt Lake was the most dangerous, seemed like, is when we were, you know, there wasn't, it seemed like manufacturing anything, playing back wasn't happening for us, you know. And it was also a weird game. I think we had almost 55% possession, which hasn't been our MO for most of the games this year. So that was interesting as well. But with that said, is this the most explosive we have looked? Even though we only scored a goal, this was one of the more kind of promising offensive games.
Yeah. I mean, we had a lot of shots, which, you know, we usually have a lot of shots, right? But it was still good fun to watch us go. And I think that we attacked the ball and we attacked the net. We attacked the box. Not, we had three shots on target. It wasn't a lot of net going on, but yeah, I mean, I think if we got a striker, and I think this is one of those times where it was a lot more open, right? And if we can go out and find someone, this kind of club record signing who scores goals, I think that we can really start to turn some of these games in our favor. Because three shots on target, if you actually have a proven scorer, probably turns into maybe six or seven shots on target. And then we're a little bit more kind of getting into it. Because Amaria, no offense to the guy, just looks so awkward, man. Sometimes he gets the ball and you're just like, you should be scoring, but I don't think you will.
Well, and obviously it's because it's the team I watch, right? So you always notice the things in the team you watch. But I swear to you, I have never seen another team that flubs the ball in the box like we do. How many missed kicks and like guys are lined up, all they got to do is kick it and they trip over it, or they try to pass it for some reason. Like it just seems like we get into the box and like we get afraid. I don't think that's what it is, but like, I mean, it almost seems like we're more confident shooting from outside. A lot of our shots, even from this game, you know, Sengbin's shot, you know, a nice shot from the outside. Rosales the other day had two flamethrowers from the outside that looked dangerous, and they're not on target, but they're close. Dotson's shot in this game just over the crossbar. So like when we shoot from outside, it's actually fairly dangerous, even if it's not on target, but like we get inside and it's like, we forget how to kick a soccer ball.
Yeah, we get like deer in the headlights and we're like, oh my god, what do we do? Yeah.
Yeah. Especially Amaria. I mean, that's been the frustration watching, is you can't get a guy like 5 yards from goal like 6-7 times and him still not put one away. Like that's not, even by accident, one of them's gotta go in. Like, it's just bad.
Yeah. It's like running it on the 1 yard line. Eventually one of them's gotta go in.
Right. So we got a couple big ones coming up here, a couple winnable games for us. We got Austin coming up May 31st, and then Toronto FC on the 3rd. So, you know, this is a good chance to get some points. I'm hoping that maybe we see some Reynoso in one of these, but I'm guessing it's going to be a little bit later.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, he only came back to training last week, right? So I would say no for the moment, but we'll see. I mean, it's interesting. Austin, right? 4 wins, 4 draws, 6 losses. They're 16th. Yeah, they're not having a red hot season. And man, hopefully we can capitalize on the disaster that is Toronto FC right now, because I don't know like how many people are watching the news or kind of following that. I'll admit I haven't followed all of it myself, but from what I understand, bit of a mess. People don't want to work with coaches, namely famous Italians. Bit of a disaster. I don't know how much you know, but I'm going to put you on the spot. I don't know how much you know, but yeah, it looks like it's a little bit of a disaster zone. So
yeah, I don't know a lot, but I actually was reading a little bit today, and it just sounds like that anarchy reigns right now. It sounds like that there is not a lot of respect for any of the coaching staff. You know, the big headline was that, you know, they've lost control of the team. So, I mean, generally when those things start coming out public, it's not long before it gets completely, you know, people lose their jobs and all that stuff. So I think that changes are coming in Toronto sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be interesting. Like, they had a conference call on the day off, like Insigne and Bernardeschi, like, had chats, like, they don't get on. Bob Bradley left Bernardeschi out of the squad. Like, it is fully a mess up there, which is great for us. I think this could be absolutely fantastic if we can get on this and then just crush it. So,
yeah. All right. Well, you know, before we go, James, I think we both can have some opportunity, and I don't know if you got anything that you're plugging right now, but, you know, I got my invite, yesterday. Woo. To the Scott Fish Bowl for the second year. Super excited. I'll just kind of, I'm going to do things a little differently this year. So last year I kind of, I hope I do that differently too, but I did some donation piece based on how I did. But I think at the end of the day, like, if you don't know what the Scott Fish Bowl is, go ahead and look it up. But if you don't know what fantasycares.org is, please go there. It's the charity that most of the donations from the Scott Fish Bowl go to. And it goes to, you know, help kids have a good Christmas. It's an organization run straight through fantasy football that goes to help kids. And I don't know what else you need to know to go make a donation. So I encourage you to go to the website, make a donation, you know, screenshot it on Twitter or screenshot it on Facebook. Let them know you did it because your connection with me, because that makes me look good. But, you know, even if you don't do that part, just donate. Go give some money, $5, $10, everything makes a difference. So it's a really cool thing. And I just want people to go over there and do it. So it's fantasycares.org is the website. You know, go help out a good cause. What about you, James? Anything to promote?
Yeah, I don't really know how I follow that. I guess for me, at some point soon, like we hit a Twitch follower goal. We passed 700 people following me on Twitch. So I will be doing a 24-hour charity stream. Don't know what charity it is yet. We'll probably helping kids. Starlight Charity in Australia. Like, that's pretty close to my heart. I used them a bunch when I was a kid. But yeah, we'll be doing another 24 hours where we play games for 24 hours and have a bit of fun. So that'll be coming up soon, TM. I haven't exactly worked out when that will be. I'm off to Crete in like, not this week, but next week, for like 4 days. So I've got to work it out, but we'll talk about it in the pod. You can follow me on Twitter. It'll all be on there. So yeah, I think that's pretty much it for me, man.
Well, last but not least, Women's World Cup's coming up in July. So, I got to imagine we're going to be drafting this thing, right? I mean, like, that just is tradition for the podcast. And so obviously that'll be on Sam, and I know Sam opened up the World Cup to some listeners, so potentially that could be the case as well. But always fun to do our drafts and think about who will get the United States, who of course will win again, and go from there.
How are you?
Well, what about the women Lions? Are they a factor? Are they one of the they're pretty decent, aren't they?
Yeah, so here's the fun fact. Both the Dutch national team and the English national team are the Lionesses.
Oh.
So I don't know how that happened, honestly. But yeah, both are the Lionesses, but both Lionesses are pretty decent. And yeah, I mean, the women won the Euro, right? So yeah, I think that'll be great for England. I mean, coming off of Euros, now you got to win the World Cup though, right? That's the little bit harder one. Canada obviously won the Olympics, right? So it's also that. So I think there's some interesting storylines. I think having first pick, you know, we talked about, you know, picking the US and having some like some disadvantages for picking the US, but I'm not sure it's going to be that easy this time, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. But of course, you know, I gotta be a red-blooded American every once in a while and talk trash only when it's at least slightly likely to happen.
Very true.
All right. Well, obviously, you know, we did it better than, you know, the other guys. So thank you all for listening. Pot on you loons.
Yeah. Peace out. Pot on you loons. Back to regular scheduled people next week. Peace out.